Now for our usual showcase of young writers in Africa, Millicent Muthoni. Perhaps she's following in the footsteps of Booker Prize winner Arundhati Roy. She wrote The God of Small Things, also studied architecture at the University of Nairobi. She's the author of One Woman's Price. It's been described as a gripping and convincing story about sexual harassment of female students by some predatory lecturers on university campuses in Africa. Michael Kaloki went to find out more about the academic who loves to write fiction, poetry and plays, and asked Millicent Muthoni, what does writing mean to her?
My writing is my best friend. It's my diversion from the rigors of life, and it's my way of making sense of the world, and it's my way of bringing out the potential in me. It's my way of coming to terms with the things that have happened in my life, the things that are happening around me. And it's my way of just carving out a niche for myself somewhere in this big world. Yeah. In the beginning, I used to write a lot about my experiences. And I wouldn't say that has changed much. I write a lot about my experiences, what I go through with my friends, and I describe my writing as, especially my fiction writing, it's a lot about women. Actually, when I look at all my stories, they are all, my protagonists are always women. So I think that has been some conditioning that I couldn't get rid of.
Your story won Women's Prize, which was featured in the Crossing Borders magazine. How did it come about? Is it an autobiographical piece in any way?
You know, I used to be very cynical about this whole business of sex for grades until I met a few friends of mine who were involved with that kind of experience. And I wouldn't say that it's autobiographical as such, because I just extracted the basic principles, which are that the lecturer is interested with in a lady student for grades. You know, he wants to sleep with her and give her the grades. So that happens a lot, and actually it surprises me how much it's happening. It is so rampant. But maybe because I hadn't witnessed it in my department, I was very cynical about it. But once I got to meet friends who had been through it, it hit me that there are actually students who have to either choose between a good grade and their dignity. I think I decided to write this because I have a preoccupation with matters that affect women. And especially in my stories, in my fiction stories, I like to write about the experiences that women go through, girls go through. I haven't gone through a lot of these experiences, especially the repressive ones, but I feel my friends and the people I've met who have been through some oppressive situations just because they are ladies.
Cindy tiptoed down the long corridor in Gandhi Wing, her hands clutched in a tight knot at the waist. She shuddered at the risk involved in their plan. It is like brushing the molars of a crocodile, she thought. She walked onto the blind end of the corridor and saw the blue door with chipping paint and the brass plaque she was all too used to. Door number 23, Dr. Arthur Bwaka. She was wearing a knee-length leather skirt and a second-hand bolero jacket bought at Sunbeam with the previous year's cha-cha. Her hair was cropped into a neat bob and was a flattering compliment to her long chocolate face. Her classmates were clustered at the far end of the corridor. Tim, her boyfriend and classmate, blew her a kiss, but she was too nervous to acknowledge it, let alone blow one back in return. She opened her handbag and pressed the record button on the miniature recorder a classmate had given her. Then she took a deep breath, reached for the doorknob, and with a sense of burning her bridges, slowly opened the door. Dr. Bwaka was seated behind his desk, typing away on his computer. He did not look up. She was not surprised at his nonchalance.
Next time you might consider knocking.
Sorry, sir. May I come in? He looked at her, and his face lit up. He took off his spectacles, letting them hang from his neck by the cord.
"Ah, Ihuoma, look at you. Of course, come in," he said enthusiastically,
calling her by a pet name she had acquired in class after acting out a scene from The Concubine.
"Thank you."
Cindy sat across from him, her handbag on her lap.
"Cinderella, beautiful as ever, eh? I'm in the middle of an important task, but never mind. What brings you back to me? You are now in your third year, aren't you?"
"Yes. Sorry for interrupting, sir."
"No problem," he cut in. "For you, I am all ears. And come on, this is not an official visit. You can call me Arthur."
Now, as a female writer, Millicent, do you think that women treat their subject matter differently to male writers?
I really don't think so, because I think women write according to the writers that are around them. I think it depends on your generation, it depends on the issues that are happening at the time. So you'll find some women, it's not that if you read a woman's work, you can tell that that's a woman's work. So I wouldn't say that women choose their subject matter differently, but I would say that maybe in societies where there have been some very significant situations that have happened, or people have gone through some significant experiences, that especially when now it's the women, you find that it's cathartic. They write about it and just get it off their chest and get it out there for people to talk about it, because they write about it from the woman's point of view. Yes, but I wouldn't particularly say that there's a way women write and there's a way men write. I think it depends on your generation.
Kenya's Millicent Muthoni talking about her writing.